Good evening and welcome to Wish Upon a Star. I am Andell Banks, your host. Wish Upon a Star is an exciting program that showcases up-and-coming stars in the musical, visual, performing, creative, and literary arts arenas. We will discuss with professional guests about songwriting, entertainment law, literary careers, copywriting, and other topics of importance in this highly competitive industry. We are very honored to have this week, and it gives us great pleasure to introduce our special guest this week, Barbara Harrell Groves, Director of Contemporary Arts, Inc. Her biography. Barbara Harrell Groves works in the Baltimore City Public Schools for 29 and a half years until her retirement in 1989. From 1990 to 1999, she worked for a variety of community organizations. Carl and Barbara Groves founded Contemporary Arts, Inc. in 1997. For many years, the two worked with performing arts organizations in the Baltimore, Washington arena. In 2002, Contemporary Arts, Inc. was incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit organization in the state of Maryland. Since 1980, Barbara has acted as the personal manager for her husband, Carl Groves, master saxophonist. And in this capacity, Barbara coordinates concert appearances in the U.S. and abroad. Her skills as an administrator, grant writer, record producer, and presenter of artistic events are vital to the success of Contemporary Arts, Inc. Carl Groves earned his musical grandness at the feet of the jazz masters. His cousin, Nema, was married to John Coltrane, the great jazz master of all time. Barbara, as director of Contemporary Arts, Inc., and Carl, as camp director, uses every opportunity to share their musical heritage with artists of all ages. They have worked tirelessly to expose the community to exciting jazz music and teach our youth all that they know for over 17 years. I want to say welcome, Barbara, to Wish Upon a Star.
Thank you, Andell.
We're going to begin, after that great intro to your biography, by asking, the arts are an extremely important part of any culture. Just how did you and your husband get started with arts programming?
I guess our first, we were talking about that recently, and I guess the main event that catapulted us into this arena was my husband's receiving the National Endowment Grant in 1983. And in that year, the grant was enabled him to produce concerts at the Inner Harbor in the Pratt Street Building and also conduct workshops at the high school where I worked. We held concerts that featured internationally renowned artists such as Pharoah Sanders, Monty Waters, and others, and we also did workshops for local musicians as well. And that is the event we think got us really started into this business really seriously, because prior to that, our main emphasis had been on him performing throughout the cities on the East Coast.
Oh, I see. So it's always just like something that you already knew a lot about. So that's great. Your program, Contemporary Arts, is very visible in the community. How did it come into existence with joining the community?
Well, we had, our emphasis was with this is not the first nonprofit we'd been associated with. In the mid-80s, we did a nonprofit called Maryland. We were involved with a nonprofit, Maryland Center for Creative Music, that presented artists just to general audiences. But we always had a love for children, and my husband always had a lot of saxophone students. So we said one summer, why don't we just start a camp in the community? So the nonprofit, a community development organization, Goldman's Economic Management Senate, agreed to be our fiscal sponsor and allow us to use their resources in order to start a camp primarily for children in the Govins community. So that's how we got our start, and we were so inspired by the fact that each time we asked for assistance from for a resource, we were able to use the facilities at St. Mary's of the Assumption. One of the other nonprofits in the area assisted us with funding, and it seemed like it was positive things were just always happening so that the children could have this camp in the summer. So I just transferred my interest from educating young people every day and being an assistant principal or teacher to having a positive influence in the community where children really needed positive activities to do.
That's very, very commendable, because I can just imagine creating an award-winning program can be a Herculean task. First, you had to do, I'm sure you and Carl, had to create a mission. What is the mission that y'all had for Contemporary Arts, Inc.?
Well, the mission of Contemporary Arts is to perpetuate the art form of jazz through performance and education. And so we do that by presenting concerts in order to fulfill our mission. We do that. We have two summer youth programs that offer jazz instruction, one to kids without any experience in Baltimore City, the other in Howard County, where kids are required to have previous arts training. And we also, for quite some time, I looked at our press releases and other things, and it seemed like our concerts for seniors go back to about in the late 1990s. So we've been trying to touch all of the members in our community, seniors, children, general audiences, for quite some time.
Yeah, that is very impressive goals and a mission. So just give us a general idea. What are some of the youth activities that you present?
Well, we present what's called Summer Activity Extraordinaire, or SAX for short, SAX, Music and Dance Camp, for children ages 4 through 17 on the campus of Loyola University in Maryland. This program is a collaborative project with Loyola University because they provide the facilities and other support to us. The children have classes each day. They choose the activity of their that they want to specialize in, whether they want to learn dance, guitar, and any other instrument. We own our own instruments. We've purchased, and we also received donations from people over the years of drum sets and pianos. So we have quite a collection of musical instruments that they can use. The musical instruments they can use during the camp session, and they can also take them home to practice. And sometimes during the year, they request that they use the instruments on loan because they're doing a performance in their school or in their churches. The students, the participants, and staff provide a closing performance on the second Thursday of the program, which is open to the public and attended by parents, friends, and other community people and our funders. At that time, the participants and staff perform so that they can showcase to those in attendance what they've learned in the 2-week period. It's a fast-paced camp, and that Friday we usually take them on a field trip, and they are accompanied by parents and other family members who are invited to join us. We've taken the children to the Franklin Institute to see Pulse of Stomp Odyssey. We've taken them to the Smithsonian. We've taken them to spend a day with the Commodore's Jazz Band, the U.S. Army at the Naval Base in Washington. They've been to various museums in Baltimore City. And usually when they tour a museum in Baltimore City, they also tour. They have a hands-on activity. They have lunch. It's a day's activity, and then in the afternoon we provided other types of arts entertainment. Most recently, we have used dancers and performers from the American Indian Association. And the children have enjoyed that greatly to see what others in other cultures have done. The American Indians teach them the language, their songs, what their costumes mean, what their attire mean. The American Indian Association is made up of people from various tribes, so there's a lot of history that they are able to pass on to the kids. And then we have, in July, the Jazz Arts Academy, which is conducted by Carl for kids who are 8 through 16, and they have to have had previous arts education. They can really play. On the first day, they usually sound like they've been there forever. It's a two-week program in partnership with the Howard County Department of Recs and Parks. They register and recruit the young people, and we show up with instruments and the staff. They, too, have a closing performance that is not open to the public, but it provides parents an opportunity to get a sense of what their children have accomplished over that two-week period. We've done workshops in jazz improvisation at one of the high schools in Randallstown, Maryland, where our artists would go in, led by Carl Grubbs. The artists would go into the school for one period each day, each week, and work with the children, teaching them jazz performance and also jazz improvisation. Currently, we've partnered with a small, the Life Source Christian School on Bel Air Road outside of Baltimore, where our artists go in weekly and provide instruction on piano and keyboard and drums. Those are the instruments that the young people have selected that they want to learn. So we are constantly looking for partnerships, and we're constantly looking to provide opportunities for children to have an instrument in their hands and for children to learn music, because music is so important in your life. You know, when you can just sit back and listen to music, it is such a relaxing thing, no matter what kind of music you choose at that time, depending upon the mood, of course. So those are the four programs that we've had with young people.
Okay, of course, that's very, very cumbersome and very interesting. I just have a general question, which I'm a little curious. How do the students actually learn the music if they've never been familiar with playing any type of instrument? What is your form of instruction?
Well, what we do is, like, for instance, in the sax camp, those who've never, the sax camp probably often have kids who also have previous arts experience. So what we do is we have one group that we call the sax ensemble that is made up of children who do have arts experience. And so they work with Carl Grubbs and Craig Alston, who are multi-instrumentalists, to learn the jazz standards and to increase, you know, to improve their musicianship, performance, and improvisational skills. The other students who've never had that before, they attend, like, the classes of their choice, whether it's piano. The classes are small because we usually enroll somewhere between 50 and 60 kids, and we have two instructors in every classroom that provides this added support. So let's say in piano, he might have 10, and he has 10 pianos, and they all have earphones, and he's able to, if not work with them as a group, give them small group, large group, or in some instances with another instructor in the room, he's able to give them individualized instruction. So what they wind up with after that two-week period is they're not going to be able to play, any great. Many of them do quite well and do perform at the closing performance. And then they go on to take, many of them go on to take private instructions. So what we've done is we've put two teachers in every room. The classes are usually no more than 10 each. In the morning, we have guitar, drums, dance. The children who are small, young, with small hands usually take vocal, dance, and keyboard, right, because their hands do not permit them to play saxophone as yet. Some of them, you know, attempt to play guitar. So that's how we tried to break it down so that they have added support with the second or third person, because oftentimes we have volunteers from the local private schools and public schools who are children who can play. They come to the camp and they volunteer their services, which provide sometimes a third person in the room who has skills.
Oh.
And the high school students use this as a part of their community service requirement for graduation.
Oh, that's wonderful, because you're really going into a lot of the other questions, but then you can talk on it as much as you want to, because I do want to go back maybe later and talk about some of the programs you have. But you and your husband, Barbara, work diligently providing diversified programs, as you have just mentioned, for the community. Do you enlist volunteers that can provide some assistance and maybe some services?
Well, as I said, the public and private school students provide assistance in the camps. And then there are kids who've been to the camp in previous years who are now in college, and they too come back, and they assist with the instructional part of the day, the lunch part of the day. And during the day, we also have recreational activities. We have Xbox. We have... we've had a gentleman to teach chess for us for about 7 years, and that's quite popular, the chess instruction. And we also have board games and ping pong and table tennis, so that there is a period where they get recreation in the middle of the day after the lunch. The parent volunteers come and they assist, you know, because they're small kids who might have to use the restrooms. The children eat lunch in the cafeteria at Loyola, and some of them are not quite sure about money and how to count it and what it means. So the volunteers assist them in purchasing items, and that, you know, helps them to understand what money is about.
Right.
And the staff at Loyola in the cafeteria is very, very patient and understanding, because they might get a four-year who has a lot on his tray but not enough money. So the volunteers are there to assist with, you know, guiding them and teaching them about cleaning up after themselves, about using the laboratory respectfully, about walking through the building respectfully, because Loyola's employees are still there at work every day. So they cannot be too wild. Matter of fact, all of our classes are held on the lower level of the arts building, and the employees are there, so we ask them to respect the fact that Loyola's employees are there. They must be able to use the facility respectfully in terms of passing through the halls, no running, no jumping. And it's a teaching experience, you know. When we were invited to Loyola's campus. And when we knew that, we said, we thought this might be an inspiration. I mean, at this time and since that time, many children have said when they grow up, they want to go to that school. And that's what we want to hear. You know, we want our children to strive to achieve not just music, but self-discipline, new friends, and many of them have acquired new friends that have, you know, because some of these kids, all of these kids do not live in the same neighborhood.
Right.
So they meet children from other neighborhoods. And it has a lot to do, you know, in the cities, in urban areas, you have all the contention and the confrontation because people don't know each other. And in learning, having this commonality of music, it helps them once they meet new friends from other areas of the city to have a common thing that they can talk about. And even when they go back into their schools, you know, we try to give them some personal development skills in terms of how to treat other people so that when they go back to school, I've taught middle school, I've taught high school, you know, they can understand how to deal with problems that you might have with people. And we try to, you know, of course we have to, you know, deal with that too, because they're not there in perfection. There are still some, you know, personal problems. And we just say, you know, okay, this is not the place, this is another environment. And we don't usually have any discipline problems. I mean, that's a rare thing for us to have discipline problems. But we, since all of us have had teaching experience, we deal with it immediately.
Exactly. Well, of course, like you said, that's all part of making the total person. I mean,
right.
You have the child must learn, you must have all aspects, the look, the talk, and everything.
Right.
So what we should do is take a break now, Barbara, so you can get a drink of water, and then we should be back in 16 seconds. Welcome back to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andell Banks, your host, and we are saying thank you for listening. We are broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, and we would absolutely be wonderfully grateful if you would send us some suggestions or your comments. You can send us an email at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, we look forward to your comments and suggestions by sending an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. We have as our guest today Barbara Grubbs, Director of Contemporary Arts, Inc. To continue our conversation, Barbara, again, I wanted to ask you, which you have already mentioned, you expose the community to new, exciting art programs. Can you tell us some of the partnerships that you and Carl have engaged in and developed to fulfill, you know, the mission and provide these art programs?
Well, I would have to say that we would not be in existence but for the partnerships. And I know that we knew that. We were able to understand that right away because we're small,
right?
And we don't have a lot of money. So I guess our first partnership was with the group who first sponsored us, Goldman's Economic Management Center. And then when they could no longer sponsor us, we had St. Ambrose Housing here in Baltimore City as our fiscal agent. But then we decided we might be able to be a little more independent, and we became incorporated and we gained our own 501 and we manage our own business. But in being invited to Loyola, as I said, that's a partnership, a very, very important partnership to us because they give us so much. They provide so much for us as the youngsters. Not only do they provide their facility, they provide their administrative staff, their security staff, their maintenance staff. They provide the theater. They provide the technical support. And it's always to make sure that everything is all right so that we can have a successful program. The Department of Recreation and Parks in Howard County, we partnered with them to do the Jazz Arts Academy for the young people 8 through 16. The current partnership we have with the Life Source Christian School, the principal was looking for someone who could provide musical instruction to her students. And she just happened to be in a restaurant with our assistant camp director, and he went right over and approached her. And since that time, we've been there since October.
Oh,
we have a have a partnership with the Department of Aging in Baltimore County, and that allows us to she helps us. The director helps us coordinate the schedule for the centers. And this year, we have I think 5 or 6 centers that our jazz groups will be performing. And they'll perform the music of the traditional jazz music. Seniors like to dance and sing, so they'll perform some of those songs because they really know the music.
Oh, yeah.
They really know the music. I mean, they have requests that they make, and they dance, and they want to participate. So we encourage the performers to do that. Our other partnership is with St. Paul School in Brooklynville, Maryland. Carl is currently and has been for 20 years the jazz band director there. So our partnership with them allows us to present concerts on their campus. So we have had a partnership with the Enoch Pratt Library in Baltimore City. Carl was a recipient of the 2009 Mary Sawyer Baker Award. So since 2010, we have presented at least from 10 to 14 artists who have received the Baker Artist Award, the performing artists, in concert at the Enoch Pratt doing Free Fall Baltimore.
Mm.
And they perform solo or collaboratively. They don't rehearse. They just show up and perform. And people love that because they like the diversity that they're going to see. They're going to see dancers, singers, beatboxers, saxophone players. They love that diversity. So we've always had a lot of compliments and encouragement about presenting that each year. Let's see. Did I leave out anyone? No. I think and Randallstown High School, of course, we partnered with. We're going to do a concert at the Inner Harbor. We're working on that October the 3rd. Carl is a 2014 Ruby's Artist Award recipient. So in May, we'll do the concert at his school. In October, we're working on a partnership with the Waterfront Partnership Incorporated to present Carl Grubbs and his jazz string ensemble at the Inner Harbor in concert. So we feel like we're growing. We're learning a lot. You know, we're getting a handle on resources that we didn't know were available to us, and people just seem to want to help us for some reason.
You can send me some information on that occurrence.
Right.
I'll announce it on the station.
Yes, well, I would love for you to, because it's a tribute to Baltimore. In 1983, Carl received the National Endowment Grant to do the concerts and workshops at the Inner Harbor. And in early 1990, he recorded that music. In 1995, he performed it at the Inner Harbor in the amphitheater. And in 2012, he had the opportunity to perform it at the Walters Art Gallery. So the Ruby's Grant was given to him so he could expand it. And since that music began, you know, the concept of that music began at the Inner Harbor, we thought that's where he should perform it.
Right.
So we reached out to the Waterfront Partnership, and they were so, I mean, they responded so quickly and so, you know, energetically about assisting us in putting on this project. So I'm excited about it, very excited about it. We're excited about it.
Yeah, congratulations.
You know? It's like a step up, Sandel.
That is really great, and I love jazz myself. I also perform for the Department of Aging at some of their programs as a DJ, a jazz DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And how heartwarming that is.
Well, they love it. They love it. They love it.
They do. I was going
at one
to
time
add
it,
also. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. At one time, we did also do some concerts in Howard County at their aging facilities and also their facilities for assisted living. But I don't know, they cut back on that for some reason, so we haven't done it in a couple of years. But we're growing in other directions, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When you give your programs, presentation is a paramount element to get people interested and new projects, especially in certain areas. How does mm-hmm. your program go about engaging the youth and the community and developing audiences? So how do you go about getting them to come into the program?
Well, we're actually located. For years, we did most of our presenting in Baltimore City.
Okay.
But we're actually, my address is Baltimore County. And we are funded by Baltimore County. And their requirement is that their monies be used in Baltimore County for their citizens in the last couple of years. So we have presented the concerts at St. Paul's. And in addition to, like, we have a major artist that comes to perform. Like this past September, we had Jaleel Shaw, who is an internationally renowned saxophonist, perform at our annual John Coltrane concert with the Carl Grubbs Ensemble. But also performing was the jazz band of that school, which is made up of like five or six young people.
Yes.
So the young people get a chance to perform. The young people get a chance to interact with the international artist. And the young people get a chance to perform with the international artists.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, we we do, in the last 3 years, we've done a free concert during the month of February at Randallstown Community Center. Now, that means that anyone can come. The only thing they have to do is go online. It has nothing to do with how much money you have. Just go online and get a ticket. And when people have contacted me and said they don't have access to a computer, I have gotten the tickets for them. That event usually attracts about 250 people. So we did, in celebration of Black History Month, a few years ago with Renee McLean, the son of Jackie McLean. We did in celebration of Black History Month with John Blake Jr., the jazz violinist. We did in celebration of Black History Month with the Eric Byrd Trio, and we're not sure, but that's something that we wanted to do to make a contribution to the community that we live in,
right?
And also to so that sometimes you might not want to drive into Baltimore City, you might just want to drive around the corner,
right.
Or down the street, so. And I don't see that kind of presentation in Baltimore County anywhere that I know of. So I think we are trying to say, okay, just as those kinds of events occur in Baltimore City or in Washington, D.C., or Towson University. Towson University is in Baltimore County. This is a community center-like building. Where people can come, and have a seat. It's a very nice auditorium. So in that way, we're trying to reach not only general audiences, but children as well. So we always have a price level when we have ticketing, too. Hello?
Yes.
So that if a concert is like $20 for seniors, it's like $5 or $7 for students. So that we can get more children.
Right.
Well, we'll get children because people who bring their children to our camps will oftentimes, or have private lessons with our musicians, will also bring their children to our performances. Carl has a performance on March the 28th at the UB Blake Center, and already I can tell you that of the tickets that have been sold, at least so far, 10 or 15 of them are for children whose families have bought tickets for them because they want to bring them to the performance.
Oh, great. I've attended some of the performances, and I can tell everybody they are absolutely excellent. Sometimes, Barbara, changes have to be made in an ongoing enterprise. For instance, in your youth programs, what is the expected outcome? Do you have that where you have an expected outcome in these particular programs?
Well, we're not interested in developing professional artists.
Okay.
We are interested in having young people know music as a life pattern,
okay.
As something that's always there in your life, that you know what it is, that you understand it, because no matter where you travel in the world, there are all these musics. And music kind of really brings people together. It's something that you can do to entertain yourself individually. It's something you can do in your quiet time. It's something you can do as a group. So what we're trying to do is introduce young people to acoustic music, because a lot of the music today is electronic.
Yes.
And that may be because only the upper levels of our society can afford an instrument. If you understand what I'm saying to you, that maybe there are people in the society who really can't afford a $6,000 saxophone.
Right.
So if they can't afford a $6,000 saxophone, how are they going to know about it? How are they going to participate in such a thing? Now, jazz music and acoustic music is very strong on college campuses.
Yeah.
And many many urban areas have cut back on their music programs.
I know, it's a shame.
We began our music activities because of the fact that the urban area had, cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And many children do not have the opportunity to even see or know what a saxophone is. To see it, when I grew up, there was a time when you grew up, everyone had a piano in their house. That's not true today.
Yeah.
Not even an electric piano.
Right.
So all the only thing what we want to do is we want to encourage young people to create, you know, explore their own creativity, try something, you know. So if I tell you that from 50 to 60 kids attend our sax camp, I want to tell you that 80% of those kids have been there before. We have a high rate of return.
Oh, great.
So that even today, like I can meet kids who are 25 who were there from age 9 to 14. But they attended our camp for 5 or 6 years. So we have that kind of track record with families in the area. You know, like once their kids start coming, they usually keep coming until, you know, they get a part-time job or they go away to college.
Right. I'm going, before we take another little break, this one little question which you have already touched upon is the perennial question of most endeavors, such as yours, is where can one obtain sustainable, continuous funding? So how do you, other than what you've told us, obtain the funding and its sources?
Well, I'm a grant writer.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
And people, I guess now that I've become familiar to many people, if they see an opportunity that I can use, they will send it to me. They will email me, you know, check this out. This
okay.
You might be interested. If it's a funding opportunity, people will send me emails. Whereby early in our game, I had to do all that myself. Now I sometimes receive information from other people about possibilities. And it's amazing, you know, and I guess it's like anything else. The more successful you are, the more people turn your way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, if people see, you were going to say the more they're in your corner.
Right. Absolutely. Now we know who you are. Because when I first started writing grants, nobody was giving us anything. And then I said to Carl, people don't even know what we look like.
Right.
Or who we are. So we spent some time, you know, so a lot of it is cultivating your resource. And so I'm a grant writer, and every time I open the emails, I'm on the email for the Foundation Center. And they send out an alert every week, I think it is, about funding opportunities and what has been funded. So I scour through those things to see, is there anything there for me?
Okay, I'll keep that in mind and also be on that list if I can.
Yes, yes.
All right, we're going to take another little break, Barbara, so that we
okay.
can catch our breath, and we'll be back again in 17 seconds. Welcome back. This is Wish Upon a Star. I'm Andale Banks, your host, and saying thank you so much for listening. We are broadcasting on www.bsradio.com, Station 2. We certainly welcome your comments and suggestions. Please send them through an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. Now we're going to welcome back our guest, Barbara Grubbs, Director of Contemporary Arts, Inc. Barbara, most parents and friends look forward to the program finale, the performances of the program. And they look for that with great anticipation. Are there certain inspirations in the creation of the performances for the finale?
Well, prior to the closing performances, with the instructors and the participants work on, you know, in addition to the basic things that they want the children to go away with, they work on something that they can present that will definitely demonstrate to the audience that they have made some accomplishment in that short period. But you have to remember that young people are far more flexible than older people. And so they are quite open. In addition to the music aspects, like one of the things that we try to do is teach them some history of the art form, and we do that through video, and they can see through YouTube. But they also construct artistic collages around the music. the jazz music and the jazz artist. And then they select the person to articulate or explain to the audience what their collages mean. So they're able to, in the closing performance, demonstrate to their parents and our funders and whatever that this is something that they've gained a lot for, they're excited about, and they want to continue. We encourage parents to check with us if they decide they want to have their kids go on to private instruction. We will assist them in finding a location where they can have private instruction, whether it's at a school that we know of or with one of our instructors. So it seems like, you know, their enthusiasm is measured to me by the fact that they keep coming back.
Oh, that's great.
And they're not keeping coming because we do not babysit. You know, we're not babysitting. There's so much going on in those 9 days that, you know, there's no time to babysit.
Right. I know I went to one a finale that one of my nieces attended a theatrical program camp, and their finale performance show was Motown Spectacular, and it was spectacular. I'm almost sure you know the name, but I'm not going to mention it here.
Right.
And these kids were from 5 to 17, like something like your group, and they were marvelous. So I'm sure you do a great job with that as well.
Well, some of our closing performances have had, if not, you know, like 1 year, one of our really devoted volunteers passed, you know, a female.
Yeah.
So the show was a tribute to her, and so they performed songs that she liked.
Oh.
Some of the songs that she liked.
Yeah.
The same thing is true. A couple of years ago, our chess instructor died. And so I worked with his family, his sister who lives here in Baltimore, and the ensemble at the end played, she told me the tune that he liked, I Believe I Can Fly. And the children performed that tune.
Oh.
And he was a chess instructor, so someone had created a collage of photos about him that was presented to the family. In the background, someone, you know, a projection of the screen of, we had video of him teaching the kids chess. So we tried to make it like something we want to, expression of ours to his family of how much he meant to us. Another year we had, I think it was one of Carl's birthdays. So they did some of his music. So that, you know, that was just an expression of, okay, happy birthday, Carl Grubbs. So sometimes, you know, there are thematic things, but more about the people involved in the program and the significance that they've had with the young people.
And that's teaching them a great lesson, too, to share, to know what appreciation means and to give back. That's excellent. It's known, Barbara, that Carl is very instrumental in the organization. What awards have Carl received in recognition of all his efforts as well in developing Contemporary Arts, Inc.?
Let's see if I can remember them. Let me see. In 1983, of course, before he received the National Endowment Award, and then because of his work with an organization in the District of Columbia, and he had a big band, he won a second National Endowment Award. And then I think in the mid-80s, he received an award from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County Arts Department for his artistic achievement. He received. He has received the Maryland Traditions Apprenticeship Award twice, where he was the master, and he worked with an apprentice to pass on the traditions of the arts form. And the second Traditions Apprenticeship Award he received, he we moved on with that one because that was with Lafayette Gilchrist, who's a well-known pianist in this area.
Yeah.
And we also had a Traditions Project grant. The organization received that to work with Carl and Lafayette in a project that focused on Marylanders who have made contributions to the jazz art form. Those Marylanders being Ruby Blake, Billie Holiday, Chick Webb, Albert Daly, a pianist, and Carl Grubb. So they performed the music of those five people, those Marylanders, at different arts venues, in people's homes, at schools, to acquaint them with the contribution of those five Marylanders to the art form of jazz. And then in 2009, he received the Mary Sawyer Baker Award. In 2014, he received the Rubies. So, we received a significant award also.
That's my Yeah, that's my next question. What awards have contemporary arts received?
The Maryland State Arts Council's Tradition Project grant was to contemporary arts because that is not awarded to individual artists.
Right.
And now that's a concern, you know, when you have individual artists, most nonprofits are giving money to nonprofits. Most funders are giving money to 501(c)(3)s or if you have a fiscal agent. But there are very few awards left for individual artists. So the Maryland State Arts Council's Project Award grant was to contemporary arts so that we could present Carl Grubbs and Lafayette Gilchrist. In 2011-12, we were awarded the prestigious Chamber Music America Award, which is funded by the Doris Duke Foundation, for a residency project grant with the Todd Marcus Jazz Orchestra. And Todd did concerts and workshops as well. He did concerts and workshops in schools, in arts venues, in churches. And that lasted for a year. And as a result of our participating in that Chamber Music America Award, I was invited to be on the Chamber Music America panel during their conference in 2013. So we've been very busy. We got a grant from the Middle Atlantic Arts Foundation in 2013. To present John Blake Jr. in concert. So I'm always looking. But in addition to that looking, we also do a fundraiser twice a year where we send out letters for people to donate money. And then, of course, there are in-kind donations from those people who are our partners.
Oh, that's great. And you will continue as well. You said about a community awareness to new types of music, which is another profound importance I see in your organization. Which artists have you presented in order to bring this new music to the community? And what type of music are you speaking of?
Well, when I say new music, I guess I'm saying to you that, you know, every local area has its basic kind of music, but I think Baltimore is kind of like a blues town.
Yeah, jazz, blues, right?
Well, but so if you there are artists who've never performed in Baltimore.
Oh.
And so those are the people that we'd like to meet. John Blake Jr. had ever performed in Baltimore. I think his sister Charlotte does storytelling, and I think at one time I did see him at the BMA when she was doing one of her projects because they always work together. But he had never performed in Baltimore. We've presented other artists, Reggie Workman, we've presented in Baltimore, and he's not a person who performs here. Renee McLean has performed in Baltimore, but not frequently, not as often as some other people. So we're looking at an Odine Pope, who's a saxophonist out of Philadelphia, is a person that we've presented here. So we tried to bring new artists that rarely or who never performed. Jaleel Shaw had never performed in Baltimore, but he's an internationally renowned artist. So I guess when we say new music, we're talking about artists who rarely or maybe have never performed in the Baltimore area before, bringing their take on the art form of jazz to audiences. Now, they're probably performing many standard tunes, but they're also performing their own original music. So the audiences have been quite accepted. I don't think you're going to get 250 people here, you know?
Yeah.
Audiences may range between 75 and 100, and that's pretty good. But not large events, you know, large venues, maybe when you have festivals and a lot of people, you'll get a lot more people who will come out. But I'm looking for, what shall I say? I'm looking for people who perform the traditions of the art form.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking for people that I like, if I may say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially what happens is presenters present what they like. You know, somebody has to select the music. Someone has to select the artist.
Right. I remember Left Bank Jazz Society, and I know they still in existence, but they too in a small type of operation as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Barbara, as an artist, and you as in the arts, doing something as a labor of love can be rewarding within itself. What are the rewards for you and Carl in working with the Contemporary Arts, Inc., your personal reward? You can tell us if you want to, as long as you don't cry, but...
Well, you know, I'm telling you, it hit me. You know, like, he and I always talk about our goals for having the children's project, you know?
Right.
But then we had a gentleman video. One time we did a video. I think we had been doing this for about 10 years, and we said, okay, we're going to do an anniversary video, so we had it done professionally. And one of the things he did was he interviewed the young people. And the young people articulated to him
exactly
what Carl and I had said to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we had never shared our thoughts with them. So when I saw the video, I was just amazed. I was like, they got it. They get it. They know that we're about them, you know, that we're about them. And I think I try to stress the fact that we're a family, you know, in terms of those kids who come in back and forth to us every year.
Yeah.
That we do care about them. It's not just about anything else. We do care about them and care about their safety.
Out, because that's the same way I have felt, too, as a former teacher and a former instructor of art. So I just want you to bring and let everybody know how interesting it is that we get this form of art back into our lives with our youth and with the community. Barbara, to add to this very informative and uplifting conversation, tell our listening audience some of the upcoming events of Contemporary Arts, Inc., and you can name as many as you want.
Okay. On March the 28th, we will be presenting, in our new partnership with the UB Blake Center, we will be presenting the Carl Grubbs Ensemble, Eric Byrd on piano, Blake Meister on bass, and John Lampkin III on drums. The focus of this concert is Bebop Madness, a tribute to the masters. And Carl is going to play his favorite bebop tunes. And I'm sure that some of the participating artists will select some of theirs to perform. They'll do two sets. The concert starts at 5 o'clock, and it will probably be over by 8:30. They'll do two sets. There'll be a cash bar and food available. On, then we have our senior concert. May 31st, we will present, in partnership with the Ward Center of the Arts at St. Paul's School, the Inner Harbor Suite revisited a tribute to Baltimore called Grubbs's 2014 Rubies Project. And that will be four jazz artists and four string artists. And that should be an interesting thing for people to come out and see. It's music from his 1983 plus additional new tunes that he has written with this particular grant. On June the 21st, we have scheduled a Father's Day concert with the Todd Marcus Ensemble, again with the UB Blake National Center. And, of course, in July, we have our Jazz Arts Academy camp from July 13th to the 24th. In August, our sax camp from August the 3rd to the 14th. In September the 26th, the annual John Coltrane concert at St. Paul's School. We haven't selected a guest artist as yet. October the 3rd, we will present with the Waterfront Partnership, the Carl Grubbs Jazz String Ensemble in Pierce's Park at Baltimore's Inner Harbor. And that's thrilling because it started in the Inner Harbor, the concept of the music, and it's going to be performed there. And we hope that all the city officials and the county officials will come out and let Carl thrill them with his music and be a part of this tribute to Baltimore City.
Absolutely.
In October, we have one last event in October, okay. The Evening of Artistic Excellence, which features the Baker Artist Award recipients. And that's a full schedule for our year.
Great. All of our listeners can go on to our website and look in the archives. This will be in the archives at least by Friday, and you can listen to the program again and also take notes on all of the upcoming activities. Barbara, before we sign off, I want you to tell us where we can get in touch with Contemporary Arts, Inc., or how.
Okay. Our phone number is 410-944-2909, or we can be reached by email at contemporaryartsinc@verizon.net. But before we go, let Carl say hello.
That's what I want him to do.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, well, really, you know, I think Barbara really ran everything down that we're doing, and like we're just having fun doing it. It seems like the longer we do it, the more we find that we can do, and we are just enjoying ourselves.
Excellent. Now, I told Barbara I'm going to have you on later on in the year, so I can also have music, so I want you to put a couple pieces or keep of things together, and I'll contact you when we will have you on the show.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Angel. This has been a very great opportunity for us to let people know who Contemporary Arts. But you know what? You asked me about the volunteers. I didn't mention my volunteers. I talked about the students, but we have about 15 to 20 adult volunteers.
Oh, great.
Yes, and so they assist with fundraising. They assist with event planning, and they assist in providing technical assistance, photography. So it's just great. A lot of them have computer skills, so they assist with that, with our constant contact, our emailing. They are very important to us.
Excellent. All right, Barbara. I want to say thank you. So we have been listening to, ladies and gentlemen, Barbara Grubbs, Director of Contemporary Arts, Inc., and Carl Grubbs, Master Saxophonist of Contemporary Arts, Inc. Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. This is Andell Banks of Wish Upon a Star saying, please send us your comments and suggestions. Send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. Also, we are broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, station 2. So, this is Andell and Denise Banks saying, keep reaching for the stars.